FNB Property Barometer has found that the average age of people buying their first property and repeat properties has risen. Younger people are not getting onto the property ladder as quickly as in previous years. To take us through his report and his findings, I'm joined on the line by John Luce. He's an economist at FNB. John, your study shows that the average age of home buyers is increasing. What average age are you seeing now compared to what you observed before? And why do you think this trend has developed?
Well, if we go back many years to 1980, the estimated average age was 38.36 years. By the end of the late end of the boom in late 2007, it was just over 40. And then since then, it's risen to 44.85 years. Now, for the listeners, bear in mind, this is not first-time buyers only. This is repeat buyers as well. There's two aspects to the rising age at the moment. I think it's a shorter-term cyclical influence. A weak economy means weak job creation, and for new entrants to the labour market, it becomes quite tough. So a new entrance to the labour market also, to a certain extent, drive first-time buying. So first-time buying is off its highs of a few years ago, and it's the older repeat buyers that are the more stable source of demand in a weaker market, in a weaker economy. They keep buying their numbers don't slow as much as the first time buying, and so they drive the average age up. Mm-hmm. It's the first time buyers that are the young age. But there is a longer term multi-decade trend as well when one looks past the economic cycle. And I think that has to do, I wouldn't be an expert on these explanations, but certainly the growth rates in age cohorts in the 50s and even in the 40s seem significantly stronger than those in their 20s at the moment. In other words, the growth in population numbers by age group. Hmm. And I think that's probably more so in the middle and higher income groups, because their fertility rates have probably dropped a few decades ago. In other words, there's less kids being born. But it could also be that the average household is being established at an older age. In other words, a number of decades ago, people may have got married in greater numbers in their early 20s and settled down and bought their house in the suburbs. Perhaps that's only in the 30s for a lot of people now, and maybe even in the 40s. So those habits, that establishing of the household may be taking place at a higher age.
Mm. Maybe a lot to ask you for this socioeconomic analysis, but is there a trend that you may have seen for those young people who are fortunate enough to have jobs to stay at their parental home and perhaps save over time towards a property, especially in these days where banks tend to want quite a hefty deposit?
Well, I think they do that in greater numbers than back in the pre-2008 boom years. Certainly, before 2008, there was a time when banks were far more lenient with lending than what they are now at the moment. So I think that is a possibility. Well, certainly since those pre-2008 boom years, you would think that entry-level buyers would have to save more. There would be more deposit requirements on a greater number of them. Mm. So that's possibly the case. But I think it is just economic times as well. Prior to 2008, there was a greater pace of job creation in an economy which for a couple of years was growing at 5% plus. Nowadays, you would think that the new entrance to the labor market, the pace of new entrance is a lot slower than then. So that would also keep a greater number of people in their parents' homes, some of them not finding employment that quickly.
Mm. Now, I mean, let's look at the actual current dynamics of the residential property sector. What have house prices been looking like of late, or does that really vary from region to region?
Well, it varies from region to region, and you've got to measure it against income. So what we've found is real price declines over the last decade in outside of the Western Cape. Price growth not keeping up pace with income growth outside of the Western Cape. So especially Gauteng, we find that to be the most affordable one when you measure average house price relative to income. And therefore, according to our estate agent surveys, very significant levels of first-time home buying relative to the rest. Mm. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you've had the Western Cape with very low levels of first-time buying. To give you an idea, in Gauteng, Tshwane and Joburg, sort of high 20% of total buying are first-time buyers, estimated by our agent surveys. You get to the Western Cape and you've got down at 6%. The Western Cape has become particularly challenging for first-time buyers in recent years because it's had a very strong property market over the last, well, up until recently, not so long ago. It is slowing now, and much more significant price growth. So that region has become quite challenging for first-time buyers.
And what about, specifically on the Western Cape, what about the issue of, you know, the water problems there? Hasn't that been somewhat of a put-off for people who want to buy property?
Well, I think that's starting to have an impact. I think that the most notable impact, we've seen our Western Cape house price growth slowing since last year sometime. But I think that's mostly just as a result of the deterioration in affordability in the years before that because of the strong price growth. So that's the biggest impact in cooling the market. Ultimately, a market becomes unaffordable for a greater number of people, and then it slows by itself. But more recently, yes, I think that the droughts must have been having some impact on sentiment in that region and on its actual economy. An economy can't function entirely without water. So I think it's probably possibly been having an impact on the region's economic growth already, and all that feeds into the housing market. So yes, I would suspect that the drought impact has been a negative one, putting some holidaymakers off, putting some tourists off to the region, and all dampening the economy. But it's very difficult to say to what extent that's been having an impact.
Now, you know, I mean, you touched on it earlier, but I mean, with South Africa's high unemployment problem and even young graduates taking time to get into the labour market or at least get into a job, I guess this means your finding of people buying property when they're much older is likely to be maintained for quite some time to come.
I suspect so, yeah. I suspect that this trend... We're looking at an economy that's probably going to be in a stagnant state for quite some years. I know we've had a change in political leadership. Policy noises have encouraged certain economists that at the end of the day, even if the new presidency sets to work on restructuring this economy and the new cabinet, it's still going to take many years before you see the benefits of those structural changes. So for the time being, we are where we are. It's a very slow growth economy, and that's not a big job creating economy, unfortunately. So yes, I would expect to see for the foreseeable future this average age of home buyers gradually trending older.
Now, we know that there's stuff like insurance when you buy a property and so on. But if you are buying property later in life, that might mean that you still need to have a steady regular income when you're well into your 60s. That's quite daunting. And what are the sort of socioeconomic implications of that? Because as you get older, you know, health issues can kick in and so on and so forth.
Sure. That's another. I think that what is going to happen for the middle and higher income groups is that retirement age is going to have to be shifted out because the savings rate in South Africa is not wonderful. It means that, and we read very regular articles coming out of the financial planning sector about a lack of preparation for retirement. So yes, many people are going to have to work longer till a ripe old age. That 60 retirement age is, I think, pretty fairly outdated, or you know, archaic at the moment. So, yes, and a lack of retirement savings for many can mean financial stress for a greater number at an older age. And yes, I suppose over time that can put some pressures on the housing market, given that these older generations are becoming a more significant group when it comes to activity in the housing market. But those are slow trends. Those are gradual trends. That ticking time bomb, if you could call it that slow puncture, whatever you want to call it, of a very weak savings rate in this economy is troublesome. It's a mounting problem, but it's a gradual problem that creeps up on us over the longer term.
Mm. From your experience working for a bank, or you know, from just your general knowledge around the banking system, what are banks' risk appetites like when it comes to loaning money to older people who are buying property? Because obviously, you know, the contracts tend to be at least about 20 years. And of course, we have a legislated retirement age, like you say, of around 60 years old. Or does age not really matter? It's more about you being able to prove your income and, you know, prove that it's going to be a regular income.
Well, yeah, I think for mortgage lenders, age, it does get to a point where age matters, because, as you say, there's a 20-year horizon they've got to think about. So I can't say there's a specific age where you cut off, but they do tend to, you know, it gets to a point where age becomes more of a concern in the whole, you know, the lending appetite.
Mm.
But, of course, for the middle and higher income groups, you would hope that by the time they reach those ages, they have, to a large extent, paid off their home loan, and many have. And so it's a case of selling your one house and buying your other house. There's high levels of activity in the over 50s age groups. Probably many of them are cash buyers. They're not necessarily bonded. According to our estate agent survey, the biggest reason for selling, the biggest single reason out of our eight main categories of selling or motives for selling, is selling in order to downscale due to life stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's the older people who their kids have left home, they don't need such a big house, or they don't want such a big house because it's too much to maintain, and they are selling to downscale. In that situation, you normally, you know, very often don't need a bond, and about almost a quarter of the market is that group selling to downscale due to life stage. So the oldies, if you want to, with all due respect, are a very significant part of the market, but they are on the downscale generally. So, you know, acquiring a bond, you know, financing, you know, to buy is not that much of a priority for that group, or not that much of a need for that group.
How nice it would be just to go and buy cash, you know, that would be great. but lastly, let's move from the older people to younger people again now. For young people wanting to buy property, either to live in or as for, you know, for investment purposes, what's your advice given the climate that you're talking about?
Well, I think one has to be, you know, it's always a case of buying well within your means. I mean, I know many people like to acquire debt for a second and a third and a fourth property, of, you know, sometimes a buy-to-let property. I think the first thing is to understand when you buy a second property. I've heard some people saying they want to buy a holiday home, and then they talk about it as an investment. I'm not sure that's an investment. It's a leisure home for your enjoyment. You're not generating an income out of it, although these days Airbnb does help with that. But, you know, it's more about buying a regular income stream. And, you know, my advice to, more suggestion to people, should I say, is, you know, still to buy well within your means. You know, banks do consider a portion of rental income as part of your income stream when they're considering your home loan. But I think it's good not to be entirely dependent on every last cent of rental income, because you obviously can have some hiccups in that. You know, not all tenants stay up to date with their payments. You know, they can go bad. You can get some hiccups and some disruptions in that income stream. So, you know, it's still important to be able to, you know, sort of have enough income of your own to weather a storm should you have a tenant that goes bad, gets into financial stress. And then all the normal old things with any house, whether it's your own house or your second house, it's municipal rates and tariff increases have been exceeding inflation for the past number of years, possibly going to continue in that vein. And of course, interest rates at the moment are relatively low. So always be prepared for the possibility of a couple of percentage points worth of rate hikes. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but it's always important to have financial buffers to be able to weather an interest rate hiking storm of a reasonable magnitude, because at some point that normally does happen. Mm. It's all those type of tips that I normally give people. Always buying well within your means. I think that's important.
That was John Luce, economist at FNB. Well, that's all we have time for. We hope you enjoyed the show today. From myself, Nompumelelo Siziba, and the rest of the MoneyWeb team, it's a good night.